World Radio Show.
Traveling world. Liberty World Radio.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Ooh, push that button.
You have travel on Travel World. Welcome back, guys.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's good to hear you guys back in the city.
And we're having a good time here this morning and looking at some of the problems that people flying experience these days. And one of those problems, of course, is the hurry-up-to-wait syndrome, and probably reviewed one of the better books that is out on the market right now.
The Why I Hate Flying book.
Yeah, Why I Hate Flying. Henry Mintzberg is a management professor at McGill University in Montreal, and he's just written Why I Hate Flying, Tales for the Tormented Traveler. Good morning, Henry.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, doing fine. What led you to write this book? You must have had so many bad experiences, you just figured, hey, had to get something down on paper.
Well, that, but I think boredom, you know. What are you supposed to do in an airplane? So I started
something
looking
to do.
Around. And,
Stephen
know.
Has a few suggestions, too, yeah.
Now, you've written some serious management books over time, but this is more on a lighter note.
Yeah, it's a spoof and it's humor. It may turn out to be the most serious one of all, you know, because the other ones are all about abstractions and this one is about the real world, you know.
Well, it's the hurry-up-and-wait syndrome. How much waiting do you think you've done in your lifetime?
For airplanes?
For airplanes, airports, the travel industry.
I'm 61, so I would say about 30 or 40 years, roughly.
Well, the system is just designed to make you wait. There are so many bottlenecks and obstacles right from getting to the airport.
It's actually mind-blowing when you think about it. You're stopped, and you wait about 8 times or something to get on an airplane. You know, you buy a ticket, and the first thing you have to do is give the ticket back to get a boarding card. Then you have to show the boarding card to prove you got the ticket to get through security. Then you got to give back the boarding card they just gave you. And every single time you're waiting in line. And you're waiting in line to get on the plane. You're waiting in line to get in the plane. You're waiting in line to get to your seat. It's a bit frustrating.
The other element that I find annoying about traveling is the lack of communication or information the airlines give you if there is a delay.
Well, sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes they give you plenty of information and it's all wrong.
You know? Wrong information, wrong gate, or they try to create that atmosphere of trust in the air when they say something is wrong, and then all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, that same aircraft that was in dire need of repair takes off to 30,000 feet with you aboard it.
What is that deal on that?
Yeah.
But I just don't understand what they they get at when they... when they make these delays and then how they get around to trying to pass them off or explain them.
Well, you know, there may be two separate things going on here, one of which is nastier than the other. One is when the incoming plane is circling to land, they may just not know when it's coming down, so that's reasonable. The other has been claimed, and I don't know how often this happens, is if they tell you how late it's really going to be, you might walk over to a competitor. So who knows? There's probably some of each.
Some of each, yeah. Now, look at other businesses, and if people got treated in hotels or restaurants or furniture stores as bad as they get treated by the airlines for the amount of money that they are paying, they'd be walking across the street and finding somebody else. But in practically a near monopoly situation, an oligopoly industry like the airline business, there's not much choice.
Well, less and less. I mean, there certainly is choice depending on where you are and where you're going, but less and less, partly because, like in Canada, where Canada just taken over its big competitor, and in the States where it's consolidating more and more. So there's that problem. The other problem is the alliances, that they're in cahoots with each other. So you know, you're you buy a ticket to get on one airplane, and it turns out you're on a different airplane because they're partners, and they don't even bother to tell you. So there's more and more restriction. I think there's another thing going on here, too. Nobody gets anxious about going into a furniture store. And I think even very seasoned travelers get anxious about flying. Not consciously, necessarily, but there's something strange about being hurtled through space, and people get anxious.
They're wondering what is going to happen, and they're worried about the delays. They're worried about what might happen, whether something... It's not just the fear of flying, but it's just... They figure there is an unknown element there, be it the delay, be it going to a strange destination, what will await them. So there is that trepidation, and it gets their sort of blood roiling a bit, and they're in strange circumstances.
One of the lines I use in the book is that people arrive at airports in conditions of great anxiety. They're worried about missing their planes, and they're even more worried about not missing their planes. You know, and I think there's a couple of reasons for that. One, as I say, is there's something unnatural about being shot through space. And the other is there's something very unnatural about being at such tight quarters. You know, anthropologists study different tribes and how people like to sit, whether they like to sit close to each other or farther apart. And in airplanes, you sit closer than any society would tolerate on Earth, you know? It's just very unnatural to be that tight.
Well, all you have to do is go to any sporting arena, and you see how close they space the urinals, for instance, in the men's washroom. Can you imagine that? And most people, if you watch them, they'll usually space one out as they pick one. You know, you don't want to
just go outside.
Yeah, well, that's Yoav. You can't do that on an airplane, though.
Airplane, no, everyone is packed
unless
in.
Unless it's a 727 and you're DB Cooper. But.
Yeah, no, it's not too easy.
No,
very true about the seats. I don't like people sitting near me, close to me, or anything. I don't want people talking to me in an airplane. I don't want people sitting beside me. I always try to get the seat that's furthest away from anybody if it's possible.
Well, those people are just, you know, shoulder to shoulder, and they're likely to spill their food on you or be sick on you or
exactly
want to
germs.
Tell you their entire life story, inveterate talker. How often do you actually meet somebody interesting as a seat companion in all your travels?
Well, in my case, you know, to tell you the truth, I have the same attitude you do, which is kind of leave me alone. So I probably have all kinds of interesting people sitting next to me that I've never known about, you know. But when we get chatting, yeah, people often turn out to be quite interesting. And I've got two stories in the book, one called Anne and the other called Anna, about a couple of very attractive women who turned out to be extremely interesting. So that's good, too, you know.
Oh. More details, please.
Attractive,
that's why you have to buy the book.
All in the book. Buy the book.
Oh, don't worry. You'll sell books. Tell me. I want to see it.
Well, probably the most interesting fellows. Remember, we were going down Detroit to West Palm Beach to be sitting next to Lou Dickey, the founder of Cumulus Broadcast. That was an interesting gentleman to meet on a flight. And we've met some interesting flight attendants who have wanted to introduce us to their hometowns as... prominent broadcasters, we have to report on different destinations. So occasionally you meet somebody interesting, but I would say it's around 80% people you hope to never see again in your life to the 20% that you wish lived closer to you that you could keep up the relationship.
Yeah, I think it's like 4% of people that you want, because 4% of the people are pretty?
Yeah, something like that. 96% are people that you would never turn eyes on again.
Hey, but look, the real question is, what about us? Are we the 4% or the 96%, you know?
Because we all think we're in the 4%.
It depends who you ask, huh?
100% of the people think they're in the 4%, so...
Yeah. Henry, one particular thing I like about your book is towards the beginning, you have a whole series of pages, and folks, you got to see it. It is kind of tongue-in-cheek, absolutely. Where it says, if you want to know why I hate flying, you'll have to wait a minute. And it goes on like that for a few pages.
People
like
flipping
that.
The pages and saying, what are we going to get to? The book is called Why I Hate Flying by Henry Mintzberg. And we'll be continuing our discussion with Henry about some of the travails of flying across the continent, around the world as we continue. And then later on, René Maurizio from the flight attendant's perspective, the author of Perfect Attendance. That's after the 30 minutes past the hour break. You're listening to Travel World across America via satellite on the Voice of Truth and Broadcasting. This is the Liberty Works Radio Network.
Across America via satellite.
You guys are insane.
Travel World will continue.
Travel World Radio Show.
Weekdays on Liberty Works Radio.
If these people were going to get in there and make a change, they would never have gotten to be president.
The Derry Brownfield Show.
They would never have gotten to even get on the floor of the Republican Convention. These people have to be in line. They have to walk in line with the little ducks that are walking along, and somebody is driving the ducks to the puddle.
Derry Brownfield.
The talk show with a country flavor.
Weekdays, 11 a.m. Eastern, on this station and Liberty Works Radio. It's a fact. More and more vehicle accidents are being blamed on the use of cell phones while driving. Some states have made it illegal to use a phone while driving unless it's equipped with a hands-free speakerphone. That's why we developed the Navigator Hands-Free Kit that turns your cell phone into a speakerphone. It even powers and charges, and you can move it between vehicles without expensive adapters or installation. The Navigator Hands-Free Kit is a snap to install and incredibly easy to use with your Motorola StarTAC or Nokia 5100 or 6100 series cellular phones. Call 1-800-695-7698 now. Order the Navigator Hands-Free Kit for only $69.95. An optional universal kit is available for most other phones without the charger for $49.95. Call 1-800-695-7698 now. If not satisfied, return it within 90 days for a full no-questions-asked refund. At $69.95, the Navigator is much less expensive than the adapters cell phone companies want to sell you. Call 1-800-695-7698 now.
I can read. Three little words parents and grandparents long to hear. I can read. The key that unlocks a lifetime of opportunity. I can read. The road to independence, pride, and self-discovery. Every day, thousands of children struggle needlessly. Every day. Reading remains the goal, not the reality.
If you're looking for a powerful but simple-to-use home study program that goes beyond a game that hooks children on reading, you want Get Ready, Get Set, Read. Developed by a team of leading educational learning and reading specialists, the Get Ready, Get Set, and Read program guides, inspires, and integrates the best approaches for maximum success and reading results. Make a difference. Call toll-free 1-888-813-7975. Mention this station for a 40% discount. Get Ready, Get Set, Read has an unconditional 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 1-888-813-7975. 1-888-813-7975. Call today.
Overweight? Tried to lose weight? Find it impossible? You should know that dieting will never work because there is no such thing as willpower. According to the Federal Center for Disease Control, the concept that willpower will lead to weight loss is a myth and responsible for a sharp increase in obesity. There are hardcore dieters that have gone through life-threatening procedures such as stomach stapling and liposuction. It's all unnecessary. Fat Destroyer, a new easy-to-take herbal supplement, will eliminate fat, ugly cellulite, and a fat gut safely with no hunger pangs at all. Fat Destroyer naturally burns away fat. A miracle. Fat Destroyer is based on research done at Harvard University and other leading research centers, and even written up in the Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Lose weight the only way that works. To try Fat Destroyer risk-free through this special radio offer, call 1-800-851-5313. To achieve your weight loss goals, don't delay. Call 1-800-851-5313. That's 1-800-851-5313.
21st Century Radio with me, Dr. Bob Hieronymus, is heard nightly on the Liberty Works Radio Network at 10 p.m. Eastern. Tune in to hear the latest about UFOs, ghosts, unfamiliar monsters, suppressed free energy technologies, and tales to inspire you and improve your life. That's 21st Century Radio weeknights at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Liberty Works Radio Network. Visit us on the web at www.21stcenturyradio.com.
Start right. You got to love. Get out of here.
good advice for the savvy traveler. Good old-fashioned rock and roll.
One of your favorites.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Stephen Pickford, Willem Backus, Yoav Saralbo here in studio talking to Henry Mintzberg, author of Why I Hate Flying, just out, new book. And Henry, we were talking earlier about hurry up to wait. Has all of this new technology we hear about, like ticketless travel and getting onto the web and getting purchasing your own ticket online, has that helped or hindered the travel process?
It's helped the people who can take the effort and know how to sort of work through the system. You know, the irony is that the system is becoming so complicated with so many prices and such a weird variety of choices of seats and prices and flights that people who can sort of play the system and work through it do very well. But how many people can do that is another story.
Yeah, sometimes these innovations are innovations only to add to the bottom line and not actually help the person themselves. It's just to pass a portion of the work effort on to the passenger without a comparable reduction in the price. We've heard a lot as well about some of the maverick CEOs in the airline industry. I know Willem here has Herb Kelleher's book, The CEO just sort of retired from Southwest Airlines.
Yeah.
And Richard Branson gets a lot of press from Virgin Atlantic. Are they, when you look at management styles, are they really innovative managers, or are they just sort of another breed of the same old in the airline business?
No, I think there's some people with imagination. You know, here and there you get, and it's interesting, eh, because it's the smaller airlines that seem to do it. Not that Southwest is tiny, but it's not United or TWA or something. So yeah, you get some creative management sometimes who are trying to change things and do some interesting things. It's tough, eh? Because this is an industry that's so regulated and so locked into all its procedures. It's very hard to do. But people like Keller seem to have made some real differences, I think.
And the customer themselves then relate to these companies. They may be smaller, but they fostered that corporate culture and have allied themselves to develop a consumer awareness, and the passengers who fly companies like Southwest and Virgin Atlantic have become very very loyal to them.
Yeah, that's right. And then maybe for good reason. The irony is that what the other companies are doing to create loyalty is a kind of bribery, really, which is the whole point for the miles system, eh? Which is that you get you know, you get paid off. Usually the people who are getting a lot of these points are not the people who are buying the tickets. They're business class travelers who are having their companies buy the tickets. So that's creating a kind of very superficial kind of loyalty where you're loyal because you kind of get locked into this point system. I'm happy to have points, but I don't think it's a very healthy system for anybody. I don't think bribery is very healthy.
No, and all too often people end up paying much higher fares than they really have to because they will stick with carrier A, quote unquote, to get our points, and they'll pay a fare $400, $500, $600 more to get their points, and they could have taken that $400, $500 and simply bought a ticket the days they wanted to, rather than be tied into all of the restrictions of when you want to redeem these miles. You can find seats 6 months down the road at 2 a.m. to Tulsa, Oklahoma. You don't want to go there, but try to find them to go to Miami or Paris. Forget it.
Yeah, you know, the other thing people are doing is sometimes if they haven't flown enough, they start to lose their status. They're not in the highest status where you get all the perks. So they'll actually take flights to have enough flights to be in the category they want to be in. So there's a lot of very perverse behavior going on, yeah.
Oh, I've actually seen that happen because my background is in corporate travel management. And get near the end of the year and somebody has to keep up their status, they will take extra trips. They will make extra connections. It may not affect their fare, but they will get from a point such as Montreal to Winnipeg, Manitoba, where they could take a nonstop flight, and they will make connections in Ottawa, Toronto, and Thunder Bay to get extra sectors to accumulate the mileage or the flight sectors that they need to get to the higher level.
You know, this is a business that's just loaded with nuttiness all around. I mean, all the things we're talking about are all nuttiness. This kind of flying, the pricing system. You know, I did some looking into prices. If you go Philadelphia Frankfurt return on what I call full fleet's economy, it's about $3,700 US There was a sale in January. You could do the same thing for $250. In other words, it's cheaper by the dozen. You could have sent something like 14 people for the price of one.
Yes, and the other anomalies of airline pricing, such as round-trip fares costing less than a one-way, and they encourage people to use only half of their ticket and then cry and complain that people actually do this.
Yeah, throw away half the ticket. Buy two tickets to stay over Saturday and throw away half of each. It's all kinds of craziness going on. It just looks like a system. Nobody sat down and say, what in the world is going on? And you know what the worst of it all, in a sense, is that this is the only business I know where you can book and you know, buy something and not pay for it. In other words, not show up. And then the airlines tie themselves in knots with all the overbooking and all the bumping and all the last-minute negotiations and all the anxiety. It's just absolutely crazy. You can't do that. You know, you can't go to a hockey game and call the next day and say, hey, I didn't feel like going to the hockey game. I went to the basketball game. I want my money back, you know?
And this is all built into the system with yield management and capacity controls. It's a statistical science that they've got it down to, but if they perhaps had better controls on the pricing levels and the restrictions, they wouldn't have to do that.
Yeah, it's statistical madness is what it is, I think.
Now, are the employee-owned airlines any better in understanding their customers or getting down to the core of the business, or are they just as bad as the rest, too?
Well, the only one I know, and there may be several, but the one I know is United, which is largely employee-owned, so I think you've answered your question. United seems to be having all kinds of trouble with its staff and various things. So, you know, Southwest is not employee-owned, so far as I know, so I guess that answers that question.
Right, that answers the question, kind of the weak link in the Star Alliance system there. And looking back 20 years, look at what was then the Bible of managers, In Search of Excellence by Tom Peters and Robert Waterman. And they looked at Delta at the time, and they were talking about, the family feeling, informal communications. What went wrong with Delta? Because Delta 20 years ago is not the Delta of today.
I know. In fact, look at Continental, which has done the opposite, eh? Continental was, I think, either in bankruptcy or close to it.
Well, twice. One of their previous CEOs committed suicide in his office. They've been bankrupt twice, almost going for a third time. They were, like, really, really going downhill fast.
Okay, so you got it. And now they're rather highly rated. You know, you get wide swings because of kind of funny things that go on with senior management. Where you, in Delta, I haven't followed it, but, you know, you just bring in someone who's not sensitive to the culture and you can really kill it quite quickly. I think it takes a long time to build a good culture, whether it's airlines or any other corporations, but you can kill it real quick. I hate five easy steps. The only five easy steps I ever developed in management was five easy steps to kill a culture. That you can do real fast.
Or you can do that as fast, practically overnight, if you really put your mind to it, to get the employees disheartened, lower morale. It becomes a downward spiral. The old Eastern Airlines, case in point as well, there was the very militaristic management style of Colonel Frank Borman. Everyone stand up and salute Frank, and then Frank Lorenzo after him, and the people just got disheartened. They were good people at Eastern, but you can just do so much with so little.
I have a story in the book about Eastern where I say Eastern went bankrupt because of the scrambled egg. I once took a flight from Montreal to New York, and they served these things they called scrambled eggs. And I said to the flight attendant, "You got to be kidding! Never eaten anything this bad." And she said, "I know. We keep telling them they won't listen. Now, how can you not listen?" And the answer is very simple: they reward themselves, the senior management, by sitting in first class, so they don't even know what's going on in economy class.
And they're not listening to the customers. If you write to an airline with your comments, you'll get a form letter back, but how often that results in an improvement of sorts. I always remember a story as we're coming up to half past the hour, and we'll have to wrap it up, how the former CEO of Air Canada, Hollis Harris, said that he loved ketchup with his eggs like a true American, and shortly thereafter there were little ketchup packets on all of the meal trays at Air Canada. That was the only time anyone ever listened, and that was for the CEO's own preferences. So
they listened
good
to
thing
one
he didn't
customer,
say,
the chairman.
Yes, a good thing he didn't say he liked grits, because we're spared them. Henry Mintzberg, great having you with us this morning. Why I Hate Flying is the book. Tales for the Tormented Recommended Traveler in bookstores, $16.95 U.S. dollars, and you'll see a lot of stories that will remind you of your own travels. Henry, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Across America via satellite.
Fun from the bouncy.
The hell is a banshee?
Keep help.
Travel World Radio Show.
This is Liberty Works Network News. I'm Jim Kerr. The communist Chinese media has made a scathing personal attack on President Bush for his handling of relations with the communists and his decision to push ahead with a missile defense system. The People's Daily described Mr. Bush's policies as being driven by egotism and a desire not to be seen as a weak leader. In the scathing attack, the communist paper said Mr. Bush's decision on sensitive issues such as missile defense, the selling of defensive weapons to the Republic of China, and the captured U.S. spy...
That's Sherry's in Westminster, 410-840-4776.
We've met a few.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to Travel World. Well, I'm back to Stephen Pickford. Yoav Sarabo in studio.
Yes.
And we have the author of the book, Perfect Attendance, as in flight attendance.
Rene Maurizio, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, I love that voice, too.
That's so funny.
You sound terrific. Tell us more
you.
About your book. I especially, like, the only thing I don't like about your book is in the chapter on the Mile High Club, you don't have any pictures.
That's the first complaint I've had, and I guess it's a valid point to be made.
Well, Bonnie knows that about me already. Oh, yeah. There we go.
Oh, tell my gosh. Well, I've been a flight attendant with a major airline for 18 years, and these are a lot of my stories, a lot of stories I've compiled from coworkers, and then I have friends with other airlines, and really tried to pull a lot of stories from a lot of different major carriers, you know, just to give the book a more universal appeal industry-wide.
The people, the nutty people who fly are not unique to any one part of the country, the world, or any one airline.
The nutty people will fly on all of the different airlines. They're not just on one airline. They're on all the airlines.
So we can't escape them.
The nutty
no.
people.
And on every flight, there's always one. Always.
Oh, yeah. Always a unique story. Now, so what are some of the unique stories or funny things that have happened to you? 18 years, probably a day does not go by that you don't come across somebody that you wonder, how could they even find their way to the airport to get on board the plane?
Oh, my God. Well, I have to tell you about one lady. This is one story in the book. She got on in Phoenix flying to Albuquerque, and she was an elderly lady. Bleached beehive, kind of a la Marge Simpson do, and she had this cradling this beautiful urn, and she, you know, you just couldn't help but to notice this urn. They couldn't get her to stow it in the overhead up under the seat. You know, she was not parting with this urn. She told the flight attendants that they were the ashes of her late husband Henry. And by God, he was going to sit in her seat. So they're like, okay, whatever, lady. And midway through the flight, she waddles back to the lavatory. And she's back there for like 20 minutes. And when she comes to sit back in her seat, she still has the urn. And she's just sitting there all happy. And one of the flight attendants, you know, just stopped to comment on the urn. And she said, you know, of course, that the ashes... in the urn belonged to Henry, her late husband, and he always wanted to visit Four Corners, you know, where Utah, Arizona, those four states meet. And so when the plane was flying over Four Corners,
she dumped him down the lavatory.
She did. She put him down the toilet. But they don't go out into the air. They stay in that doo-doo tank until the plane lands.
Yep.
So basically, old Henry was in deep doo-doo. He was not at Four Corners.
Oh. Landfill management site in Albuquerque, my final resting place.
Can you imagine what airplanes would be like if they did just drop them?
Oh like God. On the train.
Gives a new meaning to that old poem I learned as a kid in school, Birdie Birdie in the Sky.
Oh, it'd be worse than birds flying overhead. Oh, it'd be like an elephant flying overhead.
Yeah, especially on a wide body if all 11 lavatories were to empty at once.
That's called the Royal Flush.
Oh, I have to tell you this one story, and this happened to me. I was on a flight from Los Angeles to Las Vegas. We had a mechanical, and we were sitting on the ground for a long time, and we just started smelling this ungodly smell on the airplane. Anyway, God, I don't know how to say this. This man in his seat, you know, he's got a business suit and a tie on. He just sat there, and he just took this watery explosive dump right in his seat. And
I didn't know you took that trip, Willem.
He did, and he's just sitting in his own stew, and it's horrible. And this little Japanese lady, she jumps up, and she's grabbing her little nose, and she's going, oh, what's that smell? And we're trying to get her to be quiet, and we're trying to discreetly move passengers away from him. Well, the mechanical was just dragging on and on, so I had to walk through the cabin with a tray of orange juice or airline coffee. And I'm thinking, oh, mister, please don't take the coffee. Well, of course, he took the coffee.
Of course.
Yeah, and a few minutes later, he scampered off to the lavatory, and I thought, aha, this is time to get that seat cushion changed out. So I called cabin service, and this poor girl, she was either low man on the totem pole, the new girl, or pulled the short straw, but she looked like she was going to carry off her death penalty, and she, you know, just slunked all the way back. And of course, we're standing up at the front just giggling away, and then she comes racing back up, wild-eyed. And we're like, what's going on? The man had come back and sat right back in his seat.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't even notice.
Oh, yeah, and so I had to go and ask him to stand up so I could change, the seat cushion. I felt bad for the man, and I laughed. I didn't mean to. You know, it was just horrible. You know, one of those nervous laughters. And what I really wanted to say is, you know, mister, if you know you got the Hershey squirts, why would you drink a cup of airline coffee?
Well, if he could have had one of those famous airline snacks like bran muffins, that would have helped as
well. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Cascara-laden right muffins with Ex-Lax chocolate chips.
Well, why not kick the person out of the plane?
What?
Why not kick the person right out of the plane?
Yeah, if it's a 727, you can just push them right out.
Yeah, that's what you can do, and I guess that's what we should have done. And what was even funnier was the week after, because I'd been flying the same route, I ran into one of the passengers that had been on that plane, and they were staying at the same hotel with him in Las Vegas, and they said the concierge was, like, running behind him with a can of Lysol.
Oh.
Poor guy.
Well, there's always stories as well about when you fly, there'll be actually dead people sitting in seats next to you. People with animals on board. They bring everything on board.
Animals?
There was a flight from Atlanta to Puerto Rico, and this flight was just notorious for these passengers bring everything on but their kitchen sink. I mean, they would bring live chickens, everything. And are you familiar with the TriStar, the L-1011?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so you know that closet in the middle of the plane that lifts up into the ceiling? You hang your garment bags in it? Mm-hmm. Well, they get halfway over the ocean, and it's just this, again, this ungodly smell on the plane, and they searched. Oh, my God, did they search. They couldn't find it. Well, when they landed, they were lowering the garment bags in that closet, and one of the garment bags hit the floor with just a sickening thud sound, and the zipper popped open, and out rolled little old Granny that the guy had been visiting in the States, and his grandmother expired, and he was too cheap to buy, you know, pay for her to be sent in the belly of the plane, so he just stuffed her in the garment bag.
Oh, my God.
I know. Isn't that gross?
But you love the story. I hear the relish.
You'll listen to the laugh. Just
I want you back on the air with us, another show. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I'll try to tell something besides Doo-Doo TT stories.
Oh, that,
no, no, no,
like,
that's our level of humor.
Quality
that's
of
us.
Humor, yes, on this show.
That's just us.
People who dirty themselves, people who fall flat on their face, people who spill their food on their down their shirts,
and then there are the other passengers.
Yes, not just us. Yes, we just speak from experience.
Oh my God, it's just unbelievable. You never know what's going to happen, and I never cease to be amazed. It's just unbelievable. But
it's a mirror of life when you serve the public. The public is as strange or stranger than we give them credit or discredit for.
Renee, you got to pay attention to our lead back song following our break, because our break is going to be coming up in 1 minute.
Okay.
I got a very special song selected just for you for that
yes,
one.
Yes, for
yes,
me.
Hey,
will I be able to tell people how to get the book?
Sure, I was just going to tell them. Go ahead, better from you.
Oh, right now? Okay.
Yes, tell them now, and then we can remind them again when after the break as well. But
okay, great.
Tell us where
well,
to get the book.
We have a website. The only way you can get a signed copy is through the website. That's perfectattendancebook.com. And, of course, attendance is spelled Light Flight Attendance. All one word, perfectattendancebook.com. 1-800-431-1579. That's another way. And we're also on Amazon.com.
Number of ways to get the book. Perfect Attendance, another timely tales from 30,000 feet. As
yeah.
we continue with Renee Maurizio here on Travel World this morning. Tales from in the sky, and again, another story that people can relate to.
Stay tuned for the break. So keep on
rocking me, baby. You're listening to Travel World with Willem and Steve.
Stay listening. Liberty Works Radio Network. Travel World Radio Show via satellite.
Hey, Bob, did you see the news last night?
Judy, I don't watch that stuff anymore.
Don't watch it? Don't you want to stay informed about what's going on?
Well, sure I do. But you don't learn anything from mainstream media news except what the government wants you to learn. That's why I read SierraTimes.com to get the real stories.
SierraTimes.com, what's that?
SierraTimes.com is an internet news publication with no ties to the government or mainstream liberal media. They get to the truth behind the stories and publish the real news that the liberals don't want you to see.
Oh, one of those crackpot websites, huh?
Well, not exactly, Judy. SierraTimes.com has broken several major news stories and is read by hundreds of thousands of Americans who want to know what's really going on. They cover the stories that aren't politically correct so that people can make informed decisions about elections, about referendums, about serious issues that may mean a danger to our very freedoms.
Okay, sounds interesting. So where can I find it?
Oh, you girls are so cute. I told you, if you want news with an attitude, then go to www.sierratimes.com. That's www.sierratimes.com.
Do you have trouble remembering things lately? Normally, there are a major amount of fat cells in your head, causing difficulty in oxygen reaching your brain. As we age, this condition worsens, causing memory loss, dementia, and worse. Memory loss is not random, accidental, or inevitable. It is reversible if treated properly. The all-natural, safe Ultra Memory is a result of research conducted at Harvard and leading universities. Studies show that the herb ginkgo can dramatically slow the effects of aging on memory and even improve memory function in healthy young people as well. Ultra Memory contains ginkgo in easy-to-take capsule form. Ultra Memory will help you live a full, functioning life. Find out why leading researchers call Ultra Memory Brain Tonic. To try Ultra Memory risk-free, call 1-800-952-3494. Call now and save an additional 20%. 1-800-952-3494. That's 1-800-952-3494.
Language is destiny. Every time you speak, read, or write, you expose the limits of your language. The words you think influence your actions. The words you use are always judged. The words you understand reveal what you know and what you don't know. Now with the Vocabulary Dynamics program, you can take charge of your verbal destiny. Easily master a world-class vocabulary, exude confidence and command of the English language, and expand your understanding of thousands of new words. And all you have to do is just listen. Developed by Scott Bornstein, international expert in language learning, memory know-how, and test preparation, Vocabulary Dynamics will unlock your genius for language and word use so you'll never be at a loss for words again. If you call now, Scott will drop the price by almost 40%. Call 1-888-813-7974 toll-free right now. 1-888-813-7974 for the Vocabulary Dynamics program. 1-888-813-7974.
Here's what people are talking about.
Eyewitness News could not get confirmation.
Details for you in just 2 minutes.
You interrupt the usual rhetoric.
Liberty Works Radio Network.
Well, the number one job of our government, according to our Constitution, is the security and safety of the Americans.
Anything that the government gets their hand on.
What's irresponsible is the 300-some billion dollars in subsidies to multi-billion dollar corporations.
America to start looking at some
unfiltered.
Of the fact that we have accepted liberalism to become basically
uncensored.
You had a bunch of uninformed parents who are racially
Liberty Works Radio Network.
Where are they in the polls?
No talking heads allowed.
Don't be fooled by weapons of mass distraction.
Know the truth.
Nothing's being lulled into a really false sense.
This child is. He's not an actualized citizen. I don't even know if
you have to make them aware of what's going on
across the nation.
Liberty Works Radio Network.
Do we have that? I think it's coming.
Goodbye to all my friends I've known and the travel agent I trusted. I'm riding along on this beat-up old plane. Look out the window, all the rivets are rusted. As that ground crew pushes us backwards on that rickety Elton 11. I'm feeling around for that flotation device. And when the safety film is shown, I'm paying close attention. Beat up old jet liner. Hope you got a tune up today. Oh, beat up old jet liner. If they sneak you past the FAA.
For the Willow Packers Music Library.
Welcome back to Travel World.
Beat up old jetliner. Hey. Welcome back to Renee.
Hey.
Perfect attendance. So, yeah. So what do you think of our little musical interlude for you?
Oh, I loved it. It was very entertaining. Did you guys make that up?
No, we wish, but it came from our music library.
No, actually, this is it's a comedy troupe called Bob Rivers, and he's actually out in Seattle, and they record tunes that sound like the original. It's amazing.
Oh, it really does.
Oh, I love it. I sing it all the time. It's either that or we play Led Zeppelin.
Can't get that tune out of your head, huh?
One of those tunes that are going over and over and over again,
over
and nobody
and
knows
over
how
over.
To change a song and its words, then Willem back it.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I hear voices. They tell me what to do, you know?
Yes.
Oh,
well, if you hear voices, Dr. Bob Hieronymus is on at night here. Perfect attendance. Another timely tales from 30,000 feet. Now, in 18 years, Renee, also there must have been some frightening experiences, too. Not just funny times, but frightening times in the sky.
You know what? In 18 years, I've had an excellent track record, and there's been a couple of occasions, and I will get into that, but I have to preface it by saying I really don't want to scare the traveling public out there, because it is the safest mode of transportation. And you have to consider that flight crews are drug tested and alcohol tested, and people in their cars on the highways are not, you know. But
just crossing the street, you have a much worst chance of getting run over.
Exactly. I was on one flight. I was a flight attendant in charge, and it was cross-country from L.A. to New York, and the captain called me in the cockpit and said, we've lost one of the two engines. And so what we had to do, we had to turn off all of the non-essential lights and ovens and try to get enough juice to restart this baby, you know. And it was actually, the passengers didn't know what was going on because the movie was on and most of the lights were dimmed anyway. And there was a famous actress sitting in first class, and I just kept thinking about the media circus that would ensue if that plane went down. You know, it's just one of those weird things that kept going through my head. But anyway, they did get the engine restarted, and we just kept on trucking. And that's probably been my hairiest. I know of other flight attendants. One, they were taxiing down the runway, just about to lift off into the wild blue yonder, and completely the plane just lost all hydraulics. And I mean, you know, they didn't like slip in between the cushions of the sofa. They were like gone. And I just shudder to think, you know, what would happen had they, you know, 30 seconds later lifted up in the, you know what I'm saying? Kind of scary.
Yeah, when you start thinking about what could have happened, what if, you start analyzing that and you say, just for the matter of seconds, people
exactly.
were saved.
And another flight attendant, they were taxiing down the runway, another situation, just about to take off, and just smelled this putrid electrical burning smell, and there was a fire, you know, in the top portion of the airplane. It was the insulation was on fire, and of course, you know, another disaster averted because they hadn't taken off just yet, and, you know, they were able to put on the brakes and turn the plane around. But, you know, and a lot of this stuff doesn't really make the media because they don't really want to scare the public, and that's not really my intentions either. And most of the stories in the book are really more of the humorous twist, you know, the really funny, kooky things, the Mile High Club, of course, and, you know, layover stories, you know, because I really wanted to give people an honest look at what the life of a flight attendant is all about, you know, on our layovers, on the airplane. Also, there's some pretty sad stories because, again, I didn't just keep it to just the funny stuff. I pretty much laid it all out there. This is an honest look at what it's like to be a flight attendant, to be a flight crew, to, you know, to work on the airplane, and to encounter all walks of life every day.
It puts that human touch into it. It makes people that you come into contact with in service industry, it creates sort of a feeling that these are real people with real lives, and things happen to them.
There are one story in the book, again, you know, like I said, I didn't put all funny stories. There was one story. There was a family of five that were traveling from California to New York, and then they had a flight to go to Jerusalem, and it was the wish of the youngest son, he was dying of cancer, to see the Holy Land before he died. So in order for the family to finance this trip, they sold their home. And on the flight to New York, the rigors of traveling just were not setting too well with the little boy. And when the flight landed, they had to have the paramedics arrive, you know, and give him oxygen and this and that. And the airlines, in their infinite wisdom, just would not, they denied the family further boarding going on to Jerusalem. So the family had to get a rental car and drive cross country back to California, where there was no home to go back to, you know. So yeah, we see everything.
You see everything.
We really
during the
do
course of a
yeah
day's work.
And you know, there are passengers that have touched my life in more ways than one. You know, I feel like I'm a richer person just from encountering so many different people. And yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I do it. I do love people, you know, in spite of all of the air rage incidents and this and that, that the things that that really capture the media that do go on. There's a lot of good, wonderful stuff.
Renee, have you ever made like a really close friend while working on a flight that you have to this day?
Well, I would say one was a crew member, and I was such good friends with him, I had to marry him.
Yeah,
my husband. But are you talking? Hello.
Go ahead.
There's just the theme music starting as we wind up the top of the hour. We're going to give out the phone number and the website again to get perfect attendance. 1-800-431-1579 and www.perfectattendancebook.com by Rene Maurizio. And a lot of funny stories and easy to read style because they're little vignettes patched together. So good night to pick up a book and read a few pages. And again, stories that people can relate to because they can picture themselves being in the same situation, or they have been on similar flights, and they can see what may have been going on if they were sitting in row 6, what was going on in row 24. Renee, glad you could join us this morning on Travel World. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to having you back on again in the near future with more
stories. You guys have a great weekend.
Well, same to you. And
okay. I'll look for you on my next flight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye, guys. Again.
Bye. And coming up to the top of the hour, which means another week has come and gone, back from Brattleboro, where we explored the West River Railroad with Bob Immler last week. And
right after our lunch at Amy's Bakery, which was yummy.
Looking over the Connecticut River, turkey salad sandwich and the chocolate brownies, and then the big breakfast meal, the typical New England breakfast at the Putney Inn, where they actually welcome animals. You can come with well-behaved pets.
That's they let me in.
They say well-behaved pets, and they're not so well-behaved owners are welcome at the Putney Inn in Vermont for a country breakfast. Next week, it's the All Phillips Show. It's like a law firm, Phillips and Phillips. But Sandra Phillips will be in back from San Francisco. And Vic Phillips, where he was in Tennessee, where he was actually trying to complete the view that you sometimes mention in some of your lead outs and lead backs. He actually did see Dolly Parton.
God, yes.
Oliver. And next Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Travel World Radio Show right here on the Liberty Works Radio Network.
I'm Willem Backus.
I'm Stephen Pickford.
I'm Yoav Saralbo.
Join us again next week on Travel World.
Happy traveling, everyone.
Travel World is produced in Montreal by the NASCAR Marketing Company, and we're still madly in love with Bonnie. This is